The Enduring Church of God presents Charles E. Bryce, bringing you a straightforward message on the abundant life and the good news of the kingdom of God.
Hello, everyone. When you hear the word prophecy, what comes to your mind? For some, it is mystery, intrigue, and puzzlement. They can't understand prophecy, so they simply don't go there. For others, it's a fascination that's about fear and doom and gloom and the end of the world. And they spin it and twist it and read into prophecy things that aren't to be found there. Still others ignore the subject of prophecy. They're indifferent to it. They're uninterested in it, so they simply leave it alone. Well, today we're going to go into the subject of prophecy, and I want to cover four prophecy pitfalls or traps that people tend to fall into in this matter of biblical prophecy. The first one that I've noticed time and time again that people have done throughout history, and they're still doing it to this very day, and that is they set dates. Don't set dates at all, and don't set dates based on prophecy. That is a mistake. We don't know when Jesus Christ will come back to this earth. We don't know when the end of the world is going to take place. And yet people continue to tell us they know when Jesus Christ is coming back to this earth, and they know when it's all going to be over and the end will be here. Well, let's see what Jesus Christ himself said about that mistake. Let's turn over here to Matthew chapter 24 and verse 44, and notice what he said in the words of the Bible. Christ said these words, Matthew 24:44. Therefore be you also ready, for in such an hour as you think not the Son of Man comes. In such an hour as you think not is when he's going to come. You can't know the hour. Let's go up here to verse 36 of this same chapter of Matthew 24. Verse 36, Jesus Christ says this, But of that day and hour knows no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Verse 37, But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Do we believe the words of Jesus Christ found right here in the Bible? He says, But of that day and hour knows no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. And yet people continue to claim they can tell you when Christ is coming back to this earth. And they can tell you when the end of the world will take place. But in fact, they can't. So don't believe them. And don't fall into that trap of setting dates based on prophecy. Let's turn over here to another verse over here in Acts chapter 1 and verse 6. Acts 1 and verse 6. This is when Jesus Christ appeared to the apostles for 40 days after his ascension to heaven following his crucifixion. Acts 1 verse 6, When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Verse 7, And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. It's not for you to know that. The Father knows that. He'll take care of it. He'll make that decision. He'll be the one who sets in motion the events that will lead to my second coming. But that's not for you to know. And yet people just can't get away from dwelling on that point. When Christ will come back. When the end of the world will take place. Let's turn over here to Matthew 24 once again and notice verse 3. Matthew 24 and verse 3. And of course it's an interesting question, and of course it's a topic that we are all deeply mindful of. We want Jesus Christ to come back to this earth and establish his kingdom. But to take it so far as to begin to set dates and predicate actions on the exact time frame that he's coming back and the exact time frame that the end of the world will take place is a pitfall in the use of prophecy. Notice here in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 3, And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of your coming and of the end of the world? Verse 4. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. And then he proceeds to go right down through several verses here in Matthew 24, outlining the events that will lead up to his second coming and the end of the world. And some of those events are beginning to take place right now. Therefore, these events show that we definitely are living in the end time. But we can't tell the exact time that it will all be over and he'll come again. All we need to know is that right now we are living in the end time, and therefore we ought to be setting our lives in order in the light of that information and of that knowledge. So that's the first pitfall, or trap, or mistake that people make about prophecy. They try to set dates. The second one is this. They cry wolf. People do cry wolf. You know the old saying that would say something like this, don't go outside the house, there's a wolf in the yard, or the wolf is coming, the wolf is coming, so that people would be scared and not do something, or scared and do something, and the whole motivation would be built around the wolf is there, the wolf is coming, the wolf is going to get you. And there'd be no wolf. The wolf is coming. This is going to happen. That's going to happen. The other thing's going to happen. And it never happens. And then they say, this is going to happen. That's going to happen. The other thing's going to happen. And again, it never happens. Well, after a while, they lose all credibility, don't they? We have to be careful about that trap. Notice here in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 23. Once again, these are the words of Jesus Christ. Matthew 24 and verse 23, if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. He's come, he's here, he's over here, he's over there. Verse 24, for there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect, and promulgate wrong information, saying, he's here, he's there, he's come already, he's about to come, and crying wolf, and none of it's true. And people believe it, and then they find out it's not true. So then when they cry wolf again, they don't believe it. There's the pitfall. There's the danger. There's the mistake. Continuing, verse 25 of chapter 24 of Matthew. Behold, I've told you before, verse 26, wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers. Believe it not. Don't be taken in by that. Don't be deceived by that. Don't be misled by that, is what Jesus Christ is telling us. One other scripture under this point is found over here in 2 Peter chapter 1. Notice what Peter said in 2 Peter 1 and verse 19. God inspired him to say this, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Verse 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. We cannot interpret prophecy, and yet people do it all the time, and other people believe them when they do it. The Bible must interpret the Bible. Prophecies are opened up. An understanding is given when we put verses together from God's holy word and ask God to guide us in the understanding of those verses. That's what it means here when it says, verse 20 of 2 Peter 1, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. God has to give us the understanding of the Scriptures. He has to give us the understanding of prophecy. And one way he does that is by leading us to put Scriptures with other Scriptures, and one Scripture will open up the meaning of another Scripture. And therefore, then, we can understand. But to cry wolf and to spin and twist and mislead people in teaching prophecy from God's word is one of the worst things that anyone can do. What it does, because they've been told things over and over again and they simply don't happen, it sets people up for no longer believing the warnings, no longer believing the admonitions, because they've been false for so long. They've heard the cry of wolf so many times. And this is the danger of that. When the real thing does come, when the real thing does happen, when prophecy does really start to come to pass and all of the cataclysmic events found in the Bible do begin to take place, and it will, and they will, no one will believe that it's actually about to happen. In other words, no one will believe that there really is a wolf because they've heard wolf cried so often and it didn't turn out to be the case. So that's the second pitfall of prophecy. Don't cry wolf. Don't spin God's word. Don't mislead and misteach about prophecy. And if you hear people doing that, don't be taken in by it. Don't take the bait. Don't gullibly swallow whatever they're saying. The third pitfall of prophecy, and one that we have to be very aware of, because it's like an infection, really, and that's this, prediction addiction. and it is an addiction. Don't get prediction addiction. There are people who come down with this problem who teach and preach and write and mislead people. There are other people who come down with this problem who believe whatever they're taught and whatever they read and whichever way they're led. That's a big danger. That's a pitfall we can fall into. That's a mistake we can be caught up in. So we need to be alert. We need to be watching out for that. We need to make sure we're not going to be taken in by that. Some people are not interested in the basics of the Bible. They're not interested in learning how to live life God's way. They're not interested in the abundant life. They're not interested in day-to-day Christian living. That seems boring. That seems dry and monotonous to them. They have to have something that's really jazzy, something that really titillates their imagination. They want to be on the edge, to have their ears tickled with predictions and with possibilities and with speculation. The thing that really grabs their attention and holds their attention is somebody who will come out with a whole string of possibilities and of predictions and of speculations about where we are in history now and where we're going to be in the next few years and where we are in prophecy and the prophecies that are about to be fulfilled or already being fulfilled now or will be fulfilled in the not too distant future, and putting a spin on all of that and adding to that or taking away from that and not really accurately preaching that. There's a very important scripture right over here in Revelation 22 that bears on this matter of adding to or taking away from God's word, of twisting and distorting prophecies. Let's turn over here to Revelation chapter 22 and verse 18. Revelation 22 and verse 18. It says in verse 18, "For I testify unto every man that hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book." Verse 19, "And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book." That's a very serious admonition from God's word about twisting and adding to and taking away from the prophecies of the Bible. But people want to hear that. When there's an outbreak of war in some part of the world, you'll hear people jump on that and say, "See, that's it. Now we know Armageddon is not that far away. It says right in the Bible this will happen, and here it is happening. So you better give your heart to the Lord and send your money to the preacher. You better be afraid of what's coming next." They'll see a flare-up in the Middle East, and they'll go to the Bible where it talks about the Middle East, and they'll interpret those scriptures to say, "That means this nation is going to attack this nation, and when that nation retaliates, we're going to be in the throes of the Battle of Armageddon. And after that, Jesus will rapture the saints to heaven." And by the way, you don't see the doctrine of rapture found anywhere in the Bible. "And then Christ will come back to the earth, and that's going to be in such and such time and such place." All based on prediction, addiction. Now, how can you keep from being caught up in that? How can you keep from being misled by that? Let's turn over here to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 21. Notice 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 21. Paul wrote, inspired by God, "Prove all things, hold fast that which is good." You know, I've known people who have packed up and left and gone to the place where they think Jesus Christ is going to come back, and that he's going to come back right away, his return is imminent, all based on some false prophet predicting when he would come back and where he would come back, so we're going to go there and be waiting for him. And they just pick up lock, stock, and barrel and follow that false minister to the top of the mountain or out on the beach or out into the jungle, leave everything else behind. And what has he done? Well, he has gathered together a bunch of facts, so-called facts, and he's put together several scriptures and misinterpreted them and twisted them, and it all added up to a dogmatic pronouncement. We better get ready. We better flee. We better leave. He's coming soon, and we want to be at such and such location when he does. Hardly a year goes by that that doesn't happen in one form or the other, in one place or the other, by people who fall for that trap, for that mistake, that prophecy pitfall, promulgated by false ministers, false prophets, and false teachers. You want to make sure you don't get caught in that trap. You want to make sure you don't get entangled in that mistake. And you know what happens? The time that Christ was supposed to come back to the earth, and the time that the world was supposed to come to an end, and the time that Armageddon was going to take place, the predicted date and location, all of that turns out to be false. The date comes, and the date goes, and Christ didn't come, and the end of the world didn't happen, and Armageddon didn't take place. And so now people become disillusioned and turned off and confused. Or the false prophet or the false teacher or teachers, and sometimes it's more than one in a church or in a group, they readjust things and they say, oh, well, we misread this and we misunderstood that and we jumped the gun a little too quick. We have recalculated the dates and we have rethought the prediction, and the actual time should have been here and the actual location should have been there. So now we just need to get ready and prepare, and as we get closer to that time, then we'll flee and go there once again. The way to keep from being caught up in that is found right here in one very clear, short, simple verse. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 21. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Ask questions. Ask this question. Can you prove that the prediction you have given us of when Christ will come back to this earth is correct? Prove it to me. Show me. I don't want speculation. I don't want possibilities. I don't want false ideas. I want ironclad, bedrock proof. And if you can't prove it to me, I'm not moving. I'm not going. And I'm not going to believe it. You have to be able to prove it. Then I will hold fast to that which is good. And you know what will happen if you do that? You will find they can't prove it. You know why I can say they can't prove it? Because we've already read the words of Jesus Christ where he said, no man knows the hour or the day or the time that he will come back to this earth. And no man can predict with accuracy the time of the end of the world. We can know the general period of the time of the end because of events that would be taking place leading up to his return. And we can see some of those events taking place right now. But to nail down and predict with accuracy the exact time of the second coming of Jesus Christ and the exact time of the end of the world and the exact time of certain prophecies that are going to take place in certain locations and certain personalities that are connected to that is a mistake. To try to do that and to claim to know all of that and to dogmatically state that is a pitfall in prophecy. It's a mistake. It's a trap. Don't fall for that trap. Let's turn now over here to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 32. Here's what we need to do. Here's the most important thing for all of us to do in our Christian lives and in the light of prophecy and predictions of prophecy fulfillment that actually turns out to be speculation and prediction addiction, and it doesn't come to pass and we're left holding the bag, so to speak. Here's what we need to do so that we don't fall into that trap. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. Jesus Christ said this, but seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Verse 34. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. If on a day-by-day basis we're trying to obey God, we're trying to serve others, we're trying to follow Jesus Christ, we're seeking his kingdom and his truth and his commandments, and with his help, we're making progress living his way of life on a day-by-day basis, we won't get caught up in this continual problem of prediction addiction. Rather, we'll be spending our time, our energy, our focus, and our concentration of effort on overcoming and growing and fulfilling our Christian calling, and leave dates and events and locations for prophetic fulfillment in God's hands where it belongs and where the Bible says it is. Now, the fourth point that I want to spend a little time on regarding prophecy pitfalls is this, the pitfall of neglecting prophecy. Some people say, well, okay, I hear all that you've said, so I'm just not going to pay any attention to prophecy. Now, that's a huge mistake and trap. Don't neglect prophecy. Did you know that 1/3 of the Bible is prophecy? And 90% of those prophecies are for our day now or for the future. Now, some prophecies have already been fulfilled in history. Some are being fulfilled now if we know what to look for and how to understand them. But most of them are yet out into the future to be fulfilled. And prophecy is not something that's mysterious and confusing and spooky. It's just foretelling future events that will surely come to pass. But who do you listen to when prophecy is preached? You have to listen to God's true ministers. You have to let God lead you in the understanding of prophecy. You have to prove what is said, or you'll be misled. And by the way, when we say don't neglect prophecy, we're not just talking about the earth-shaking, horrific events that are going to take place before Jesus Christ comes to this earth, where very scary, foreboding things happen as prophesied. We're not just talking about that. We're also talking about prophecies that foretell wonderful things that are going to happen and tremendous events that are going to take place. Don't neglect those prophecies. I want to turn and read one of those over here in Micah chapter 4. Turn with me to Micah chapter 4 and verse 1. It's in the Old Testament, and it's a wonderful prophecy foretelling a wonderful time which is surely going to take place. Let's read it. Chapter 4 of Micah, verse 1. But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it. It's talking about the kingdom of God being established on this earth, led by the King, Jesus Christ himself, and that's going to happen. And it's in the future. And we're nearing that time, but we don't know the exact time. But regardless of when it happens, we need to be ready on a day-by-day basis by being in a close relationship with God and leave the dates and predictions out of the equation. Put it all in God's hands. He'll handle all that. Verse 2, Micah 4. And many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Eternal from Jerusalem. Now you read this passage here. In all honesty, we know this has not happened yet. It has not taken place. Not in the past, not in the present. So it's going to take place in the future, and it is coming. And what a glorious time that will be. Notice here in verse 3. And he shall judge among many people, and rebuke strong nations afar off. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. What a tremendous time that's going to be, when there will be no more war at all to be found anywhere on the face of this earth. No implements of war, no strategies and tactics of war, no colleges of war, no hostilities between nations and between people. This is what it'll be like. Verse 4. Micah 4 and verse 4. But they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken it. That's going to happen. It's going to come. That is a prophecy, and we need to pay attention to it. So let's don't fall into the pitfall of neglecting prophecy. But let's read the prophecies of the Bible, and let's understand them, and let's be inspired by them, and let's be warned by them where it applies, so that we can be on our toes and be alert. Christ said that's what we ought to do. Notice here in Luke chapter 21 and verse 34. Luke 21 and verse 34. Here's what we need to do. In addition to seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness, which we've already read, living our lives according to God's word, following Jesus Christ, loving Almighty God and loving our neighbor, and moving on through life toward his kingdom. As far as prophecy is concerned, and as far as world events are concerned, and as far as world news in the light of biblical prophecy is concerned, here's what we need to do. These are the words of Jesus Christ, Luke 21, verse 34. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that they come upon you unawares. Well, we know that day is coming when Christ will return to this earth. And we know that day is coming when the end of the world will take place and the kingdom of God will be established on this earth. We don't want to be caught off guard regarding that time. But we don't need to get caught up in false prophecies being promulgated by false prophets, which lead to wrong decisions. by the people who pay attention to them. Verse 35, "For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth." Luke 21 and verse 36. And here's what we need to do. "Watch you therefore, and pray always, that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man." So be alert, be aware, be cognizant of the times in which we're living. Don't ignore them. Don't dismiss them. Don't neglect the plain facts about them. But they need to be put in proper context. They need to be put in proper order according to what the Bible says. And we need to be careful who we listen to in the matter of teaching these things. And we need to be very careful how we respond and react to information that is published or preached regarding these prophetic events. We have to seek the truth, and we have to be able to prove that what we're being taught is the truth according to God's word. And then we won't fall into prophecy traps, prophecy pitfalls, and prophecy mistakes, leading to wrong action and bad results. But we do need to be watching. We do need to be aware, to be alert to world events and world news and prophecy that ties in with these events. And God will help us do that. It's not a matter of being paranoid about it. It's not a matter of being uptight and worried about it. It's just a matter of asking God to guide us and to give us that understanding through His church, through His ministers, and to put it in the proper perspective so that it can properly influence our lives in the right direction, not living a life of fear and of confusion and of just being uptight all the time, but living a life of peace and of joy and of happiness, and in a balanced way, being aware of the meaning of the times in which we live, and therefore being alert in our relationship with God and in our knowledge of events taking place around us, and making decisions that will lead us in the right direction toward the kingdom of God. And that's why Jesus Christ said, "Watch and pray, and don't get caught off guard." Would you like to know where America and Britain are mentioned in prophecy today, and for that matter, other nations in the Western world? Well, you can know that. You won't find the word America in the Bible. You won't find the word Britain or England in the Bible. But you will find many prophecies in God's word about America and Britain and other nations in the Western world. If you'd like to have that information, just request our material on America the Beautiful and on the Lost Ten Tribes. We'll also send you our free magazine, Straightforward. There's no charge or subscription price. We'll send all of it to you free of charge. There'll be no obligation or cost on your part. All you have to do is call our toll-free number at 1-800-581-1317. That's 1-800-581-1317. Or you can go to our website at straightforward.org. Until next time, this is Charles Bryce with the Enduring Church of God.
For more information, you may write to Enduring Church of God, P.O. Box 1317, Chandler, Texas, 75758. Or visit our website at straightforward.org.